Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. We will be joined by Nazanin Bonjati, a Persian actress now residing in Southern California, who's going to be talking about human rights issues as they relate to Iran. That's today at 9 a.m. Central Time. Tomorrow, Phil Turney is going to be on the show. He will be the third person we have had on Mark Dankos America from the USS Liberty, which was attacked by Israel on June 8, 1967. Phil Turney, 40 years ago, was a damage control officer top deck with the USS Liberty. He will be discussing some incredible things that he saw that day, which have stayed with him in his mind for the last 40 years. And he has a lot of perspective on the danger, the absolute danger of what he has learned about the Israeli lobby in the wake of his own experiences since 1967. That show will be tomorrow for 3 hours with Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. I strongly urge you to tune that show in because I think it will simply amplify and underscore what we've already discussed with Gary Brummett and with Commander Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty. Getting Phil Turney's take on these events will simply add to the composite sketch of what we've been trying to put together on what happened 40 years ago, not simply for historical accuracy and in relation to what happened at that time, but as well to understand the way in which the Israeli lobby continues to be a driving force, the driving force, many would argue, in the American political scene today, as it relates to both foreign policy and domestic policy. Which brings us back once again to Harmony Grant's piece today for the National Prayer Network, entitled "Thought Police Keel Haul the Navy Catholic," talking about this publicized case of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, formerly a public affairs officer for the USS Carl Vinson, and Sharp, of course, has been relieved of that post. As I understand it, he is still in the Navy, pending possible charges that would lead to his being dismissed from the Navy. But the Southern Poverty Law Center has been accusing Lieutenant Commander John Sharp of anti-Semitism and being a part of supremacist groups. And as was mentioned the other day on this show, the Navy has a regulation. It is a regulation 1167. And that regulation prohibits U.S. Navy personnel from belonging to organizations that are deemed to be supremacist in orientation or deemed to be anti-Semitic in orientation. And this is something, of course, that came up last week in our conversations with a couple of different guests, including Dave Lewis and Eustace Mullins. This is a very, very curious regulation, because the whole issue of anti-Semitism and supremacist thinking is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it? What do we mean by these terms? What does the Navy mean by these terms? Who is the Navy allowing to define what those terms mean? It's a very, very interesting thing that is not simply a question of the precise use of language, but who is providing the definitions and who is providing the enforcement mechanism based on those definitions that determine that people are either in or out of the U.S. Navy on the basis of those provided definitions. Getting back to Harmony Grant's piece then this morning, she says that Brother Andre Marie of St. Benedict Center says, quote, "virulently standing up for Catholic doctrine and the rule of Christ the King are becoming hate crimes now, and Catholic men should not stand for that one bit," unquote. In a letter to the Navy Times, Brother Marie writes, quote, "I know John to be a fine Christian man, not a supremacist or anti-Semite by any stretch of a rational man's imagination." This is something we'll return to when Mark Dankos America comes back. might want to also see Dr. Stephen Snigosky's piece on this at The Last Ditch, a letter that he wrote to the Navy Times on behalf of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp. You might take a look at that one a little bit later on this morning. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you on RBN from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. We will be joined by Nazanin Bonyadi, a Persian actress now residing in Southern California, talking a little bit about human rights issues as those relate to things Iranian. That's going to be Nazanin Bonyadi at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. I wanted to also mention what we've been talking about through the last hour, and that is that Phil Turney of the USS Liberty will be the third guest that we have had from that crew that was attacked on June the 8th, 1967, will be on tomorrow for 3 hours. Phil was an on-deck damage control officer who, in many respects, saw some of the worst aspects of the aftermath of the Israeli attack 40 years ago on that vessel. He will be sharing with us his memories of that day, as well as his analysis of what all of this means and what it's meant to him in the last 40 years. And then on Friday, Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross is going to be on the show. And we plan on making that a regular feature for reasons that I might discuss a little bit later on this morning before Ms. Bonyadi comes on. in regard to what Mark and I are going to be trying to do on Friday, and what we hope to do every Friday thereafter on this show in regard to giving our spin on what is going on in the news media, what our take is on the events of any particular week, and talking about some of the comments of individual guests that I will have had on this show in any given week. And that's a feature that, of course, I will be discussing potentially a little bit later on this morning in regard to what we hope to do with that show on Friday and every Friday thereafter, God willing, to augment what this broadcast has already been doing for the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back then to Harmony Grant's piece today for the National Prayer Network entitled Thought Police, Keel Hall, a Navy Catholic. She, of course, is talking about the case of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp of the USS Carl Vinson, who was relieved of his post as a public relations officer for being the editor and publisher of two works, Neocond and Neocond Again, which again have had writers as well known as Pat Buchanan and Paul Gottfried writing for them. Absolutely amazing that when you look through the laundry list of contributors to those two works that have been edited and published by John Sharp, that anyone would find them to be objectionable in terms of the American political and cultural spectrum. But nonetheless, the Southern Poverty Law Center has begun its assault on Commander Sharp, and has gotten the Navy to relieve Commander Sharp of his post at the USS Carl Vinson. And I think it's not unreasonable to say that with what we know about the Southern Poverty Law Center and Morris Dees, that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith undoubtedly stands in the background of this story as well. Going on then to look at what Harmony Grant has said this morning about Commander Sharp, she says that the St. Benedict Center praises Sharp as a talented Catholic publisher and one of their conference speakers. They called his relief from duty one finger of a greater assault on Catholicism by the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center has indeed waged war against traditional Catholics, according to Harmony Grant, especially those savvy to the contemporary Judaic assault on Christian values, symbols, and beliefs in the West. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center accuses extremist Catholics, quote-unquote, of possibly forming, quote, the largest group of anti-Semites, unquote. Their winter 2000 intelligence report on the Dirty Dozen estimates the number of American radical traditionalists at 100,000. Their Dirty Dozen list includes Catholic Apologetics International, one of whose crimes was to publish a National Prayer Network article by the Reverend Ted Pike. The 12 are targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center for exposing, discussing, and criticizing Jewish leadership of social progressive causes and anti-Christianity. Along with the Dirty Dozen report, the Southern Poverty Law Center site denounces racist Pat Buchanan's immigration book and seeks to taint a coalition of psychologists who believe homosexuality can be cured with the charge of racism, quote-unquote. The site also blacklists Christian nativists, quote-unquote, want limited and legal immigration, and the Minutemen. The Southern Poverty Law Center was founded in 1971 by Morris Dees and Joe Levine, Jewish lawyers in Montgomery, Alabama. Dees is famous for bankrupting far-right organizations through litigation. In 1981, the center began monitoring hate groups, quote-unquote, and now produces a quarterly intelligence report. The center's Teaching Tolerance K through 12 education program produces an award-winning magazine read by, quote, more than 500,000 educators, unquote. Why is there such antagonism from Jews against Christians? Since 1948, America has given away $100 billion to Israel. Evangelicals like John Hagee are more hawkishly supportive of Israel's wars than many Israelis. Why the hostility? Modern Judaism is primarily a humanist cult based on the myth of Jewish supremacy. Jews are bound together by the myth of blameless victimhood, especially during World War II, and by the beliefs that they can trust no one but fellow Jews and Goyim, who irrationally oppose them. Personal testimonies of nominal Jews who have become religious reveal conversion stories quite unlike those of Christians, who most often report an experience with God involving guilt, repentance, forgiveness, and spiritual peace. Most often adult Jewish conversions happen after watching Holocaust film marathons, listening to Holocaust survivors, or reading a Shoah. Jews write of the sense of connection, responsibility, and honor for their dead, and those who will die if the irrational, immoral, hate-filled goy are not suppressed. Israeli and American Jewish leaders alike speak of Muslims, Arabs, and Palestinians with often unabashed racism. If the Navy truly disciplined all who espoused supremacist causes, quote-unquote, how many Zionist Jews would be relieved of duty? Christianity, on the other hand, is not about Christians the way modern Judaism is about Jews. It is about Christ. True Christianity places human interests below divine ones. Its fundamental relationship should not be man to man, but man to God. Christ taught the basic equality of souls before our Maker. He sanctioned no racial or national supremacy, but preached a kingdom not of this world, which unites every person in every land who trusts in him and receives his spirit. Thus, Christianity rebukes modern Judaism by its very existence. The spirit of Christ is irrevocably opposed to the humanist spirit of modern Judaism. They cannot be reconciled. Jews who hate Christianity and defame it at least recognize this reality better than most Christians. Those Christians who do recognize this battle and speak out against the Judaic spirit attacking them are quickly punished, as Lieutenant Commander John Sharp and his Catholic friends know all too well. The ultimate tool of Jewish punishment for Christian truth-telling is the anti-hate legislation of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. If a federal hate law is passed, public courthouses and military grounds won't be the only spaces patrolled by Jewish thought police. The entire United States, private and public alike, will be toured by the searing searchlight of the Anti-Defamation League for expressions of Christianity or quote-unquote anti-Jewish bias. All Christians may then join Sharp in the unemployment line or prison, whether they actually rebuke the Judaic agenda or not. It is Christ and his teaching of spiritual equality before God and spiritual obligation to him that is truly under attack, sought out for silencing and punishment. Harmony Grant continues, "We must be courageous and sincere enough to speak the whole truth now. Evil thrives in silence. If even a small minority of Americans humble ourselves before God and speak the whole truth, he may yet deliver our nation from the truly frightening specter of anti-hate legislation and a federal peace department, quote-unquote, dedicated to opposing traditional morality. But if we can't find the guts to stand up for Christ when the worst Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center can do is to call us anti-Semites and alienate superficial followers, how will we stand when refusal to receive the mark of the beast means starvation and death? Time to speak is now. Identifying Anti-Defamation League and liberal Jewish activism as the root of much of the rotten fruit in media, Congress, Mideast-Middle military entanglements, and the globalist financial agenda. I'm only 24, Harmony Grant says, but I would rather face prison for speaking the whole truth than live in comfort with the knowledge that by my silence I assisted evil. God told Jeremiah to speak the whole truth and diminish not a word, quote-unquote. Anything less empowers darkness. I can't have such complicity in my conscience either in this life or the next, where Jesus would ask, quote, why couldn't you have feared and trusted me alone? I would have taken care of you, unquote. Again, that's Harmony Grant writing and editing for the National Prayer Network. She has a piece for Ted Pike's group this morning entitled Thought Police, Keel Haul, a Navy Catholic. This whole question of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp is one that we need to be following ongoingly in the days ahead. Dr. Steven Snigoski of The Last Ditch was on this show last week. He was the one talking about this Navy Regulation 1167 and the way in which it defines supremacism, the way in which it defines anti-Semitism. Dr. Snigoski has a letter that he has written to the Navy Times on behalf of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, which you can find at The Last Ditch. You can also find it at Breaking All the Rules News with a link to The Last Ditch. And again, this story is absolutely imperative for us to understand and its implications, because it again shows that the Israeli lobby is fundamentally operating in a way which is not only destroying American Christian culture domestically, doing a very fine job of that, but once again involving us in a foreign policy which has as its basis the promotion of Israel first and not America first. Keep an eye on this thing in the days ahead. Going back into what we were talking about earlier today with the American Free Press's publication, The CIA in Iran, the 1953 coup, and the origins of the U.S.-Iran divide, there are so many things that would be worthwhile for discussion in regard to this book. I would suggest reading it in conjunction with Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men. There is some overlap in the material, and yet I think the truly valuable aspect of the American Free Press publication is the way in which a lot of original documents are reproduced in this book that get at the bottom of a very, very scary phenomenon, the deliberate manipulation of news media. It happened in 1953. Is it happening right now? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by Nazanin Bonyadi, the Persian actress now residing in Southern California. She's going to be talking about human rights in an Iranian context. Tomorrow, Phil Turney of the USS Liberty will be on the show for 3 hours. Don't miss that show, folks. If you can possibly tune it in, please be with us. He will be the third person to be on the show who is from the USS Liberty crew of June the 8th, 1967. In this particular case, Phil was a topside damage control officer who saw the most horrific things in the aftermath of the Israeli attack of June 8, 1967 on the USS Liberty. He has a very poignant personal witness and testimony to give to us, not simply in regard to the horrors of that day as he saw them, but the way in which he has for 40 years not simply carried around the memories of what happened then, but the way in which he has come to see the outlandish role that Israel has played in controlling the foreign policy of the United States. And I think Phil Turney tomorrow will issue a warning to all of us in regard to what he sees ahead if there is not a change in direction, and a change in direction very soon. Mark Glenn will be on the show on Friday. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross will spend a couple of hours with me talking about all the news stories of the week, as well as providing commentary on some of the individual guests that will have been on this show through the week. Mark and I hope to make that a regular feature, that every Friday thereafter on Mark Gancoff's America, we hope to be talking about the issues of the day and what we believe is the real take on those issues, as opposed to what corporate Zionist media is telling us. And that's going to be absolutely essential to get a handle on that in the days ahead, because let's face it, folks, we have a controlled news media. Who controls corporate media in this country and why? I think we have suggested who it is on a variety of occasions on this show. If we go back then to the American Free Press's new publication, The CIA in Iran, the 1953 coup, and the origins of the U.S.-Iran divide, that is, it seems to me, a microcosm and a primer of so many, many things that are fundamentally wrong with our foreign and domestic policy. At one level, the book on the 1953 coup in Iran, undertaken by the CIA and secondarily by British intelligence, underscores the dangers of interventionism, the dangers of a foreign policy that is rooted in manipulation of other people's affairs and other people's governments at the behest of an international elite. Something that looked like it had worked out perfectly in 1953 began to look very different by 1978 and 1979. It potentially looks very different today in regard to what we find ourselves dealing with in that part of the world. But as we look at this book, which I strongly urge you to get a copy of, if you're listening to this broadcast, I emphasize that I make absolutely not a dime off of this for endorsing it. But I really think if you contact the American Free Press and get a hold of this volume, The CIA in Iran, the 1953 coup and the origins of the U.S.-Iran divide, that you will be glad that you did in regard to its expansion of your own knowledge of Iran and your own understanding of what happened there in 1953, as well as the insights that will be gained in regard to ongoing problems as they relate to that country and as they relate to this country. You can have that book, I think, for $20, if I'm remembering this correctly. And you can call 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS to get a copy of this book directly from the American Free Press. This study comes to us as what had been an original production by a guy named Dr. Donald N. Wilbur. Wilbur was directly involved in playing an active role in Operation Ajax, which was the name of the CIA British intelligence operation that overthrew Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. That study of Donald N. Wilbur was originally entitled The Overthrow of Premier Mossadegh of Iran and was written in March of 1954. The information in that study is now reproduced in this American Free Press volume, which we'll talk about a little bit more when we come back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined at right around 9 o'clock Central Time by Nazanin Bonyadi, a Persian actress and human rights activist, talking about human rights, specifically as that pertains to the nation of Iran. Talking about Iran this morning, we've been making reference to this book by the American Free Press entitled The CIA in Iran, the 1953 Coup, and the Origins of the U.S.-Iran Divide. Just to give you a little bit of an idea as to what is in this book, it is based on a study that was originally entitled The Overthrow of Premier Mossadegh of Iran and was written in March of 1954 by Dr. Donald N. Wilbur, who played an active role in Operation Ajax. Wilbur specifically was involved in the what was called the psychological warfare aspects of this plan. Wilbur's publication was later issued as a historical paper number 208 of the clandestine service history. And it was entitled The Overthrow of Premier Mossadegh of Iran, November of 1952 through August 1953, originally penned in March of 1954. It ended up being published by the so-called clandestine service as historical paper number 208 in October of 1969. And as you go through this book, it's, again, absolutely amazing, describing all of the things that went into the drafting of this plan and the way in which this plan was executed in August of 1953, the way in which it at one particular juncture looked like it was going to fail on the 16th of August, 1953, only to become successful on August 19th, 1953. And as you read through the volume, there are a number of different places where a theme continues to emerge in this manuscript. Looking at page 37, for example, reference is made to a statement made on the 28th of July, 1953, by Secretary of State Allen Dulles, or John Foster Dulles, I'm sorry. And Dulles said, quote, "The growing activities of the illegal Communist Party in Iran and the toleration of them by the Iranian government have caused our government concern. These developments make it more difficult to grant aid to Iran," unquote. It goes on to say that a request was made that the U.S. newspapers reflect the Iranian press campaign against Mossadegh and that inspired articles be placed in the U.S. press. That's an absolutely incredible statement, isn't it? But it's one which is at the same time factual. And what is said on page 37 of this book is then unpacked for us with specific details in regard to press manipulation, exaggerating stories, fabricating stories, placing a specific spin on events in a particular country, and then making sure that those stories with the appropriate spin and false data or incomplete data or partially true data wind their way into mainstream press organs for the express purpose of creating a perception in public opinion, both in the target country in question as well as in the countries comprised of plotters who are trying to overthrow the government of the first country. This is an absolutely incredible study in the manipulation of political opposition, the creation of false appearances and front groups, financing some people, denying financing to others. And in the question of the Iranian coup of 1953, this gets into the financing of the opposition to Mossadegh and the relationship of the plotters to a series of persons and institutions in the country of Iran, including the Iranian Majlis, or parliament, and the various religious leaders of Iran at that particular time. There's a lot of discussion here of the relationship that both the CIA and the British MI6 had to Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, also to a general by the name of Zahedi, Fazlollah Zahedi, who became the individual that CIA and the British intelligence community believed would be the best choice to become prime minister of Iran in a repristinated Shah-led Iranian government. And as you go through this again, there are a lot of things that are discussed in this book that involve press manipulation. When you get to the back of the book, by the way, there are a series of appendices that discuss these things from the vantage point of the actual planning documents of that period generated by both the CIA and British intelligence. Appendix A in the volume is entitled The Initial Operation Plan for Operation Ajax as cabled from Nicosia, Cyprus to headquarters on the 1st of June, 1953. This is a summary of a preliminary plan prepared by the British SIS and CIA representatives in Cyprus. And when you get into the pages of this once classified document, you discover that in Section 7 of this Appendix A, that there is a heading entitled Press and Propaganda Progress. Point A under that heading says, prior to the coup, intensify anti-Mossadegh propaganda. B, Zahedi, meaning General Zahedi, should quickly appoint effective chief of government press and propaganda, who will, number one, brief all foreign correspondents, number two, release advanced prepared U.S. and U.K. official statements, number three, make maximum use of Radio Tehran. When you continue through the volume then, going through not only Appendix A, but also Appendix B, entitled The London Draft of the Operation Ajax Plan. When you read through this, again, this whole theme of press manipulation comes to the fore. Developing friendly sources within so-called friendly publications that will put together and disseminate articles and information that certain central governments and certain intelligence organizations connected to central governments want disseminated publicly as the spin that is desired to create public perceptions about individuals and events and organizations and political developments and circumstances. As you read through this American Free Press book, look at those appendices, Appendices A and Appendices B. You go all the way over to Appendices C or Appendix C, the Foreign Office Memorandum of the 23rd of July, 1953, from British Ambassador Makins to Assistant Undersecretary of State Bedell Smith. Once again, most interesting that when we talk about an intelligence operation of this size and scope, that control of media, manipulation of media, the cynical use of certain sources within media infrastructures to create public perceptions that facilitate what individual governments and individual intelligence organizations connected with those governments want to see happen. Folks, this is an absolute study in the whole business of press manipulation that is designed to create an aura and an atmosphere for certain things to happen. If you go into Appendix B, for example, as I'm leafing through this book and looking at some of my notes, Appendix B in this American Free Press book deals with the London draft of the Ajax operational plan. Once you have your copy of this book from the American Free Press, you can turn to Appendix B, page 111 and following, and see written there some specific things that are underscored as those things that must be done by the American CIA and the British MI6 in regard to the utilization of press and publicity. I'm quoting from this report now, keeping in mind this is an original document generated at the time coming out of London. It is the London draft of the Ajax operational plan. It has had input into it by both the British MI6 as well as the British SIS and the American Central Intelligence Agency. Quoting then from Appendix B, page 111 and following, it says under press and publicity, in the preliminary support period, the British group will continue to use its numerous smaller newspapers to push an anti-Mossadegh line. At headquarters and at the field station, U.S. personnel will draft and put into Persian the text for articles, broadsheets, and pamphlets, some pro-Shah and some anti-Mossadegh. The material designed to discredit Mossadegh, I will repeat that again, the material designed to discredit Mossadegh will hammer, I'm reading originally from the document, now this is what it says, will hammer the following themes. A, Mossadegh favors the Today Party, that is the Communist Party of Iran, and the USSR. And in parenthesis it says, this will be supported by black documents. B, Mossadegh is an enemy of Islam since he associates with the Today Communist Party and advances their aims. C, Mossadegh is deliberately destroying the morale of the army and its ability to maintain order. D, Mossadegh is deliberately fostering the growth of regional separatist elements through his removal of army control over tribal areas. One of the aims of the removal of control by the army is to make it easier for the Soviets to take over the northern provinces. E. Mossadegh is deliberately leading the country into economic collapse. F. Mossadegh has been corrupted by power to such an extent that no trace is left of the fine man of earlier years, and he now has all the repressive instincts of a dictator. G. Consistent with these themes will be the persistent slant, this is in the original, folks, the persistent slant that Mossadegh has been the unwitting victim of his unscrupulous, personally ambitious advisors. It is considered essential that General Zahedi make an early choice of the man who will be his director of press and propaganda and who may be deputy prime minister as well. The U.S. field station will obtain from Zahedi the name of the man he has in mind who must be acceptable to the United States and the United Kingdom. 1 or 2 weeks before the date set for Situation A, the intensive propaganda effort will begin. The details relative to the execution of this campaign will be the primary responsibility of the U.S. field station. This is absolutely incredible stuff, folks, because what it shows, of course, is that according to the original planning documents of that time, emanating from both British and American intelligence, we have a test case here of the targeted infiltration of media. The targeted infiltration of media, the identification of sources friendly to these respective and foreign intelligence communities, that these sources would in effect ensure that stories were run in the press that would reflect a certain perspective. And in this perspective, it is obviously clear that the United States and the British wanted to not only overthrow Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, but to ensure that a series of themes and persistent slants, again, quoting directly from Appendix B of these intelligence planning documents, that these themes and slants would reflect negatively upon Mossadegh, negatively upon him personally, as well as to create a perception, and to create a perception that Mohammad Mossadegh favored the today a Communist Party of Iran and the Soviet Union, and that this claim would be supported by so-called black documents. Black documents. What are black documents, by the way? If you read through this book, there is an earlier discussion as to what these so-called black documents are, as opposed to so-called gray documents. I may leave that for your reading to determine what a black document is, except to say that it is in contrast to gray propaganda. I guess I will quote from this just so that we understand it over the air. Page 20 in a footnote says that gray propaganda refers to propaganda put out without any clear indication as to its source. This is in contrast to black propaganda, which is attributed to a source in an effort to discredit it or implicate it. So there you have it, folks. Gray propaganda is opposed to black propaganda. In the case of Mossadegh, it would be black documents that would underscore a theme that Mossadegh favors the today a Communist Party of Iran and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Interesting slant, isn't it, how in the eyes of many people at that time, Mohammad Mossadegh was simply an Iranian nationalist, someone whose primary goal was to ensure that Iranian oil policy was being established by Iranians and not by British Petroleum. And, of course, when Mossadegh began to move in a direction which involved the nationalization of the oil industry in Iran, British Petroleum recognized that Mossadegh had to go. And therefore, British Petroleum enlisted the British MI6 in its plot against Mossadegh. The British MI6, in turn, enlisted the American Central Intelligence Agency and the President of the United States in what was spun as an operation to stop a Soviet infiltration of Iran and potentially a Soviet takeover of the Iranian government, ostensibly through Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. Was Mossadegh a communist? Was Mossadegh that close to the today a Communist Party of Iran? Or was Mossadegh simply a nationalist who was caught in the crossfire of something going on with American and British intelligence that necessitated his removal, at the behest of British oil interests and the so-called Anglo-Iranian Oil Company? That is a question that has been debated since 1953, but I think at a bare minimum, when you look at this book, again, put out by the American Free Press, but notably with a series of original documents, planning documents generated by both British and American intelligence, it becomes abundantly clear that Mohammad Mossadegh was painted in a particular way in the media canvas, and that helped to facilitate a revolution, the blowback from which continues to affect American-Iranian relations today, and relations which may end up in a wider war. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Back back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. We hope to have Nazanin Bonjati on the line from California, talking about human rights in an Iranian context and what that may mean in the days ahead, and what it has meant in the past and the present as well in regard to that situation in that country. You know, getting back to what I was talking about before the break, this American Free Press volume, The CIA in Iran, the 1953 coup and the origins of the U.S.-Iran divide. You can have that for $20 as I'm looking at the back jacket of the book. And you can call 1-888-699-NEWS, toll-free, to get a copy of this book. And again, the entire volume is worthwhile. But I think what is particularly incredible about this book is the way in which it relies so heavily on original documents of that time generated by the American and British intelligence communities that give us the inside story over half a century later in regard to what we were doing in that country and what the British were doing in that country. And to the extent that there is a whole different side to that story from what has ever come forth in the American-controlled Zionist corporate media, it enables us to understand, I think, a little bit better why there has been such terrific political blowback against both the United States and Britain, not only in Iran, but throughout the Islamic world. And this is a very sad and sordid story, because it shows that our hands are not clean, folks, in regard to what has happened in Iran, and that when you look at this whole issue of overthrowing governments, being involved in national and international press manipulation, and the dissemination of deliberately spun false information about other people's political leaders and institutions and so forth, this makes for a very, very dangerous game. I think both when you read this book put out by AFP, as well as Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men, what emerges to me is an ultimate truism, and that is that what looks like great policy today may look very different a quarter of a century or a half century later. And certainly what looked like a great victory for the United States and Britain in Iran in 1953 proved to look very, very different in 1978 and 1979. And certainly today, as we stand on the edge of an absolute catastrophe with Iran, we might go back to 1953 to understand why we are perceived in a particular way in that country and also throughout the Middle East. There's one other thing that comes up in regard to all of this, and that's the whole business, once again, of the media. If we had in 1953 that much outside manipulation of international and domestic news media to create a particular perception of events going on in that country and related to Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, is it not safe to assume that right now we are dealing with a similar brand of media manipulation that is designed to create perceptions about this situation with Iran and perceptions about Israel and perceptions about America and Britain that are designed to lead us as a nation in a certain direction? And is that direction truly in the national interest of the United States of America? It's a pretty compelling question, isn't it? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.